This part of the presentation is called Transcending Mystery and Wonder, The First Source, and it's by Reverend Roberta Finkelstein. How do we define ourselves religiously? Our faith has a name that isn't instantly recognizable. Saying we are Unitarian Universalists, when asked, doesn't automatically shed light on our religious identity. So how do we define ourselves religiously? The obvious way, to talk about what we believe. A more basic question than what do we believe is what is the source of our faith? The first of our six sources is direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. This is a rich statement of spiritual experience with many facets. I want to concentrate on four points. The first is the affirmation that there is something, unnamed and undefined, that is greater than any single person. The second is that the individual experience is the single most important source of authority for liberal faith. The third is that the experience of the transcendent is universal. And the fourth is that this experience impels us toward personal growth and communal commitment. To point one, there is something out there, something mysterious and wonderful. If I were using traditional biblical language, I would talk about meeting God, if you will, face to face. Biblical accounts of human encounters with the divine tend toward the psychedelic. I would guess that the biblical authors did not mean for us to take their descriptions literally. This was hyperbole, resulting from a compelling need to express the awesomeness of the experience. But many of you are not inclined to talk about meeting God face to face. Now here, Reverend Roberta Finkelstein gives her experience. However, to use my authentic voice, I thought I should tell you about my experience. I had a very tangible experience of, and I have to admit, I really struggled to share this. I just don't know how to describe it. So I'm going to read just because I really get a little, you know. But it was a really awe-inspiring experience of an opening in the universe where I saw color and light in a totally new dimension, multidimensional. I was attending a theological school in order to get accreditation in pastoral work. It was a brutal course where you did a complete four-month program in 1 month, and I was doing two. I woke up one morning after a very fitless night's sleep, and was wondering how I was going to manage it, if even I could manage it. I got up to go and throw up. But instead, I found myself walking to my window. I got there and I just closed my eyes and let go of all the stress and strain, and I just emptied myself of all that I had going on in my mind. I was hoping to settle my stomach and somehow gain some focus on what to do next. When I calmed, I opened my eyes and looked out over the campus garden. And I saw the most immensely intense colors of everything around me. And the light was incredible. It was like the sun shining through the dew, but it was everywhere. I gained a strength from that silence, from those colors, from the sun rising, from the penetrating colors around me. And I knew I could do it. I knew I could do anything. That feeling lasted all day and just gradually dissipated over the next couple of days. I'll never forget it. I'll never truly know what happened, but I do know that I experienced something transcendental. Reverend Roberta Finkelstein continues to say that some of you are artists and musicians, and understand how awesome the creative process really is. Others may find that you encounter deep mystery walking in the woods or looking at the stars or watching the incredible violence of a storm at the beach. Still others experience awe in human encounters, in the sharing of deep pain or joy, of previously untold secrets of love, affection, and support. You may feel it when you gaze into the eyes of your newborn baby or into the face of an aging parent. It is there for all of us. Point two, individual experience is the single most important source of authority for our liberal faith. As Unitarian Universalists, we affirm that what happens to us in our lives, on this earth, in the here and now, and what we do with our lives on this earth, in the here and now, is our religion. Furthermore, we believe that salvation is found in our choice, our words, our actions. When what we are is the result of a transcendent experience, we can bless the world. We believe that we can bless the world with our creativity, with our work for justice and peace, with those things we do that bring order out of chaos. That was the true act of creation in Genesis 1, not making something out of nothing, but bringing order out of chaos. It's a miracle that we humans repeat all the time, when weeding our gardens, setting limits for our children, singing hymns together. This affirmation of the centrality of the human experience goes back to the Reformation, when our spiritual forebears spoke passionately of the priesthood of all believers. We need no priest to mediate our experience of God. It goes back to the 19th century social gospel movement, when our universalist ancestors demanded that the kingdom of God be ushered in by human hands and human effort. They knew that nobody else, not even God, could do it for them. It goes back to the humanist movement that began in the early years of this century, when an earlier generation of Unitarians and Universalists argued for the functional ultimacy of humanity. Whether or not you believe in God, whether or not there is a God, you better act as though it were all up to you. Point three. What we are describing and celebrating is a universal experience. We recognize that in different cultures and eras, it has been described in different ways. But beneath the specific language, the yearning, the searching, the celebration of the encounter is common to all humanity. Rabindranath Tagore, and excuse me for that pronunciation, but it's the closest I could come to. He was a 19th century Hindu poet and philosopher, and he sums up that universal experience of connectedness in this way. The same stream of life that runs through my veins night and day runs through the world and dances in rhythmic measures. It is the same life that shoots in joy through the dust of the earth and numberless blades of grass and breaks into tumultuous waves of leaves and flowers. It is the same life that is rocked in the ocean cradle of birth and death in ebb and in flow. I feel my limbs are made glorious by the touch of this world of life, and my pride is from the life throb of ages dancing in my blood this moment. The theme of universality of the human religious experience runs through so much of Unitarian Universalist writing, and it's one that we return to time and time again. And the final point, four, has to do with the fact that when we do experience an encounter with transcending mystery and wonder, we are changed by it. UU theologian James Luther Adams reminds us that revelation is continuous, and it is our religious obligation to be continuously opened to new ways of seeing and hearing and loving the world. Our human experience is of religious value when we are moved by it. And what are we moved towards? First, a renewal of the spirit. The spirit, depending on where you are on the theological spectrum, can mean the laws of nature, the process of growth and evolution, the tendency of human beings to long for the actualization of freedom, justice, and compassion. Like the Taoist, we may understand it to be like running water. Like the Sufi, we may understand it to be the breath of the world. Like the Hindu, we may understand it to be the radiant sun among the light givers. Renewal of the spirit is what allows us to go on living. It is what empowers us to work for change against great odds, to be hopeful, optimistic. It is what draws us into religious community, impels us to take our stand, throw in our lot with the forces that create and uphold life. These forces may be conceived of as natural, supernatural, transnatural. They may be what Theodore Parker had in mind when he said that the moral arc of the universe was long, but it bends towards justice, a phrase that Martin Luther King Jr. was fond of quoting. And I want to close with these words by Rebecca Parker, who was president of the Star King School for the Ministry. Your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless or curse the world. None of us alone can save the world. But together, that is another possibility waiting.
I want to begin my section of the service with this reading from UU minister, Reverend Tom Owen Toll. Our lives are embraced by a mystery that is baffling yet trustworthy, and our earthbound purpose lies in surrendering, not solving it. Conventional religion has customarily been concerned with mastery over mystery, reducing life and spirit, death and God, to creedal phrases and clever doctrines. Unitarian Universalism, at our truest, aims to be a faith that neither explains away nor drowns in mysteries. The profoundest realities are often invisible, intangible, yet insistent, downright mysterious. We belong to a religion that pushes our minds as far as they can go and then bows before the mysteries. The primary mystery of existence is life itself, a reality we all share. Behind mysteries lie other mysteries. It's incumbent upon spiritual adventurers to leap into, or at least lean toward, the mysteries of experience, exposing our souls to their perplexity and power. Unitarian Universalism beckons us to engage life, meet death, surrender to love, wrestle with God. Blessed are those who, rather than avoiding or explaining mystery, have the courage to encounter mystery from beginning to end. It's from a book called Theology Ablaze, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Unitarian Universalism. Now, the title of this service, Enigma of Mystery, is perhaps somewhat redundant, but I did think that it was a useful title. Last week's service, Life is a Riddle and Mystery, led me to a paraphrase of Churchill, Churchill's comment about Russia, and life is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. And so I couldn't resist. And the title may also give some sense of the complexity of my feelings and thoughts around this subject. I want to look today at a broad picture and offer William Blake to lead off. He begins Auguries of Innocence with these words: to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. Exploring these words has been part of my exploration of mystery for decades. As I was preparing for today's service, trying to find a way into it, I looked out the window at the buds appearing on the ends of branches, the unfurling of new leaves, the solitary tulip alongside our house, about to open to a glorious crimson, and it has now opened. Before my eyes, I could see life returning from the hibernation of winter. Now, should we look at this with a logical and literal eye, or should we surrender to the wonder of the cycles of life, death, and rebirth? Last week, Reverend Suzanne shared with us the idea that both the mystic and the scientist ultimately come up against mystery. Now, that doesn't mean that we should stop looking. It is mystery, in fact, that propels us onward in the search for answers. However, there can be times, and there need to be times, when we can just experience the transcending mystery and wonder. From the Touchstones Journal for May come these words: "The capacity to value mystery is enhanced by awareness, by a sense of awe, wonder, and gratitude at the reality of being alive and being a witness to existence, by an appreciation of the mystery that extends beyond the boundary of human knowledge, a boundary that is always changing as human knowledge evolves, and by the meaning and purpose that we create or discover, including the way we live in response to that meaning and purpose." Now, aside from the mysteries of the natural world that inspire wonder and awe on a daily basis, there are mysteries that have kept me on a continual search for truth and meaning. Mysteries of life and death on both a personal and cosmic scale. Birth and death are mysteries that lead me to questions. Where do we come from? Where do we go? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, or death to rebirth, or to transmutation of energy. Scientifically, there is no way to prove what happens when we do die. Quantum theory suggests that everything in the universe is energy in different forms. The law of conservation of energy states that energy cannot be created or destroyed, but may be changed from one form to another. There are numerous stories that suggest the possibility of rebirth or reincarnation. And for those who claim that death is the end, no ifs, ands, or buts, I suggest that that position is just as metaphysical or unprovable as the idea of divine judgment at death leading to heaven or hell. So birth and death are mysteries that I will keep exploring. However, most of the time I think I'll just go along with Iris DeMent as she sings, "I think I'll just let the mystery be." On a much vaster scale than our individual lives is the larger mystery of the origin of the universe. Is the Big Bang the ultimate beginning of the universe? What happened before that? Buddhist thought would suggest that there can be no beginning or ending. And some scientists speculate that there are multiple or even infinite universes. Max Planck, theoretical physicist and originator of quantum theory, writes, "Science cannot solve the ultimate mystery of nature, and that is because, in the last analysis, we ourselves are a part of the mystery we are trying to solve." I want to share some thoughts by Reverend Mark Bellatini from a piece that he wrote. "For me, the creation or origin of the universe remains deliciously mysterious. The story, as it has been developed by modern cosmologists, is a great story and one that fills me with wonder and astonishment. But that wonder and astonishment is not the deepest source of my religious feelings. Wittgenstein's old dictum that it is not how the universe comes to be that prompts the mystical experience, but that the universe is." And that remains in force for me. That there is anything at all, rather than nothing, astounds me day after day. The hows and whys are interesting, sure. They get me to thinking, or sometimes if I am reading Stephen Hawking or some other modern physicist of note who takes up this question, I even arrive at a state of mind which must resemble that of a Zen abbot at meditation. What, after all, does quantum fluctuation look like? It's pretty imageless, and it's not all that cuddly, that's for sure. But that's why I tend to down my meal of hard hows and whys with a sweet glass of mystical experience, something that warms me on the way down and speaks of relationship more than cause, of deep connection more than cool information. It is the universe which sparkles around me here and now, which I experience. I can have no experience of the source of the universe, and I am convinced that my experience of belonging and love in the universe is what moves me through the world with whatever confidence, care, fierceness, and fidelity I have. I cannot know what your own experience of the universe might be, or if you have a theory of its creation which you favor, but I hope you, at least now and then, know an experience within this universe, in Wittgenstein's frame, words about which you cannot speak, and then you, like Van Gogh, can remain silent under his starry night, or sit down in peace. Reverend Mark Bellatini. Now I can say that I have experienced that kind of wonder at the mystery of life, of nature, of the universe. That direct experience has been and continues to be the heart of my spiritual exploration, my search for truth and meaning. Now we're going to close the service at the end of the day with a rather meditative song by Bruce Cockburn, which is simply called Mystery. And he writes, "Don't tell me there is no mystery. It's everywhere I turn." And what I most love about this song is his call to life and exploration, as he concludes the song with, "So all you stumblers who believe love rules, stand up and let it shine." So may we all stand up, let our love shine, and enjoy the mystery. May it be so.